Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. 1 Timothy 1:17. Greetings. Overcomers.ca. The Epistle Mysteries, Chapter 14. The Mystery of God, Thoughts of God's Mind. Scriptures. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption. He said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets, Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Acts 13:28-41. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and I will be the glory in the midst of her. Ho, ho, come forth, and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord. For I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, After the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake mine hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants. And ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion, in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. Zechariah 2:3-13. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 5. And after these things I saw four angels standing in the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Revelation 7, 1-4. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, Come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Revelation 22:16-21. And Scriptures. Two visions. First vision. Then I beheld the face of God gazing intently upon the nations of the earth, even at this present time, as it were present tense. As he gazed, I noticed that he was allowing men to live and exist as they wanted to. God was drawing men, but not requiring full obedience from them. But I saw also that there was a small group of people scattered throughout the earth, distanced from one another. Upon them the face of God was set, and his judgment was manifest towards them. With intensity he required their complete attention and yielding to his working power. As they did, they were conformed more and more in two ways. First, they were more and more identified with Jesus in his suffering. Second, the more and more identified with Jesus in his resurrection. Both worked together at the same time by the judgment of God which was upon them. These are the few who will form the army of the Lord, the ones he is about to manifest in bodies glorified. To these few was the face of God set in intensity and vision. Second vision. The earth and all the nations in it, even in this very time we are in at this very moment. The nations were all assembled upon the earth, and through them and as them was the appearance of a wild beast. The beast spoke out blasphemies against God and against his people. The beast was ravenous. It trampled and devoured the flesh of men, consuming them relentlessly without any rising to contest it. Men fell down to worship this beast to try to get it to stop consuming them, but the beast regarded not men and devoured them, consuming them in its jaws and breaking them to pieces. all the men on the earth, all the inhabitants of the world, were consumed and torn by the ravings of this beast. And I saw that this beast seemed out of control. Yet at the same time, I saw that the beast, while consuming men, had grown to full stature, and that God began to judge the beast. And Revelation 19:17-21 concerning this vision says, And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that had worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of burning fire with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. I saw then that this was indeed what was being brought about even in our day to the mass of mankind that is alive upon the earth, even in this very hour. End second vision, end two visions. The cross by which your self-life is crucified is not your salvation. Christ alone is your salvation. He, as the personage of the Lord Almighty, even that true Christ, for he is the salvation wrought for all mankind, not that mankind would be a blended mixture before him, but each individual and each time frame of world history and from every quarter of the earth, all of them have salvation in the living Christ. The cross is but the means by which God teaches us to cancel out anything that is of self, anything that is not of the Lord in our lives. We are not saved by the cross. We are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, who in his person is our salvation. Full salvation is completely guaranteed to humanity because of his person and because he is indeed the I Am of salvation. For the overcomer in this hour, the sign of his coming is not because they grow in full knowledge and in great power and in a height that has never been reached before. The sign of the coming of the Lord in the first resurrection is not by a vast vocabulary being created by a powerful impetus to be filled with the power and the knowledge of God. The sign of Jesus' coming is full salvation. That salvation that can only come from him without our participation in it as to contributing to its ability to find us saved. The sign of the Son of Man is his salvation wrought fully in a people who are not more and more complex, but more and more simple, childlike, filled with a singular desire and hope, a people who have borne crosses, but also who know that life is not in the cross, but in Jesus. That cross, being found as a faithful tool in their lives, prepared them for the day of manifestation. That manifestation can only come when that cross has completed its work. And that work can only be completed when the overcomers have the full distinction in themselves of that which is of flesh versus that which is of spirit. That which God saved versus that which God will not save. In their lives they will be alone, separate, cut off, found apart from all others, and found to be enduring the impaling process. For them, salvation to the uttermost is achieved when the cross is doing its greatest work. When the cross is working with all power to cancel out self, then Christ is also at the very same time working with all power to raise up your inner man, the newly created life that arose in his person when he rose again from the tomb. That is the true identity of the overcomer. In this very time we are in, waiting for the coming of the Lord, and the mind of God is working to give us this simplicity. I'll say it again. In this very time we are in, waiting for the coming of the Lord, the mind of God is working to give us this simplicity. His work and his thoughts toward us is to remove from us anything that complicates life. In his mind, he desires that we be as little children, fully believing his promises and not at all caught up in natural reasoning concerning the method and means by which he works in us. In the mystery of God, he works to bring us into that same expression of who he is as a person. He is a mystery to natural thought, distanced and not known by man, because God desires us to know him in full understanding of the mystery of God in spirit. His work, then, is to confine us to his will. Part of these studies will be the mystery of his will, by which we can see what it means to walk in accord with his will in the spirit all of the time. The fact that pressure is increasing in your life and tribulation is not yet over is proof that God is working in you. For the pressure and the tribulation you endure is a benefit to you if you are indeed learning that knowing God is simplistic, not complicated, a joy, not a great burden. The Lord is allowing pressures to increase in the life and emotions of his overcoming saints, so they will learn to get their eyes off of this world and on to him alone. As he does this in your life, you will find your walk becoming more simple, more clean-cut, more and more with his thoughts interjecting and becoming one with your thoughts. You will actually learn to be patient and to glory in tribulation, because when you are in such a state, you will have all you need to think correctly with the mind of God. His workings are to teach you that you are indeed joined unto his spirit. For they that are joined unto the Lord are one spirit, and the pressures on your life will give you all you need to walk by the same thoughts that are in his very mind. The more simple, the more godlike you become. God is working just now exponentially in the lives of they that will be manifested in the first resurrection. This may sound different to you, for when you look at your life, you do not notice changes that are more to the positive. Rather, you see long trials, long terms of pressure, and engagements in battle that take place over very long periods of time. When you look in the mirror, you see that faith is a long exercise, a method of keeping sane in the midst of a world that is growing ever more insane. You find hopes for the coming of Jesus, seeing the destructions beginning all around you. Wonder just how long it will be until he comes to complete his promise. Instead of great spiritual prosperity like the false prophets and false teachers are delivering to the masses, you find yourself sitting alone outside these places of mirth and gladness, and your life is quite often surrounded in misery and solitude. There are times when the presence of the Lord is real, but more often there are times when heaven is like brass. The sky is dark and gloomy. The Lord is not seen tangibly in your faith. God truly has become a mystery, for you are left bewildered as to what exactly he is doing. Dear reader, if that describes you, that know you are exactly in the place that God has worked to bring you. That place of aloneness and solitude and quietness outside the fringes of religious mayhem is your life because of the working of His Spirit in you. That place of confinement you find yourself in has become for you the very exact center of the will of God in the very mystery of God, and you may not even realize it. The mind of God is this way. He has determined to finish this age with a triumphant resurrection, and He has determined to do this in a company of people who have been emptied of anything that is in this world and that lays in a state of comfort and contentment while others believe they will escape the increase in pressure that is coming to the earth. The overcomer in this lowly position is still cast out, rejected, a non-entity, not a part of the endless course of gatherings and meetings wherein people try to find the true location of God. The overcomer may be gathering together with a few of like precious faith, but only because those whom they gather with are in the same way. They too cannot be part of what is happening in this world, in the world. So what has God done to reveal Himself to those who are set in this lonely place? He has given to them the first part of His full expression. He has emptied them of all that they are as a people, just as Jesus emptied Himself for obedience to His cross. So these have indeed followed this very same pattern. God is revealed in them now in the midst of their solitude of suffering silence. These few, in the agony of their identity with the sufferings of Jesus, find themselves cut off and alone. But through these few will be the release of all creation out of the bondage of the curse of Adam's fall. Just backing up to the beginning part of this, He has given to them the first part of His full expression. He has emptied them of all that they are as a people, just as Jesus emptied Himself for obedience to His cross. So these have indeed followed this very same pattern. God will utter His voice before this company. That utterance is the same utterance that wrought salvation through Jesus when He hung alone upon the cross. Through Him, God wrought the reconciliation of all things. Now, through the emptied-out overcomer, He will literally poise creation to have the curse of death lifted off of it. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5:19. In the very mystery of God this will be, and in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And He will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of His people shall He take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for Him, and we will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Isaiah 25:6-9. God has determined in His mind that creation will be completely delivered from death. He has determined in His mind that this will be done through the little company of overcomers, His glorious army, following Jesus upon white horses. You, dear reader, are a part of that company. You will take part in the first resurrection. Man has waited for two millenniums for Jesus to come. He is going to come. Do not lose hope. For God to restore this creation, he must first bring to pass a portion of his will. In his thoughts, he has determined that the mystery of iniquity has come to the full, and now he will work to end that mystery so that his purpose will be completed. The end of that mystery and the introduction of Christ ruling over this world, even under the cosmos, will only take but a brief hour of time. At the same time, the overcomers will be introduced to this creation as saviors, upon whom the judgment of the world will rest and death will be removed. Prior to this happening, though God is going to shake everything in the world, he is going to shake everything to pieces, and nothing will survive this shaking. First, he will shake the world's economic system. Along with that, he will shake the political and kingdom systems and will expose the leadership and their hearts for all to see. He will shake them in such a way that the economists and politicians will turn to the religious world for help. But the religious world is also going to be shaken, and they will utterly fail to help anything of the political or economic portions of the world. All three together will be shaken right to the core, right to the place where iniquity is rooted. This has started and will not stop until the manifestation of the sons of God. Right in the middle of this shaking, as if it were a massive earthquake, God is going to manifest his sons and daughters, the overcomers, and glorified bodies. The reason God is doing this is because his thoughts are that he must now restore all things. For him to do that, he must first take away what man has built and done so that he can make it new. For he will create this new, and all that is in the world after this shaking will be new, deathless, and will abide in complete peace and harmony. There will be nothing of the man or the mystery of iniquity to remove peace from the earth. Man must first endure the shaking, for that is the mind of God to do so. But there will be no more fruit on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Even the leaves of that tree will be stripped bare. If you are alone, separate, a little bewildered perhaps, know it is because you have been reserved for this time that is now. It is not your flesh that will be used, it is your inner man. That is what the Lord has thought now to do in the earth, and it will indeed be wonderful. This inner nature will rise and overtake what is your outer man. The results will be tremendous, and it will be done in a new anointing, which is even now beginning to manifest. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.